Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson is Which Way the Home? The home is the basic unit of society, the source from which everything else comes. Homes will supply the factories, the schools, the businesses, the churches, government officials, our leaders and teachers and doctors, our accountants and engineers, our preachers and all the rest. The home is the spring of civilization. Society cannot rise higher than the spring from which it comes. The home molds the values and the priorities, the morals and the human relationships, and just about everything else in society. It is a true saying that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, we are aware that when we talk about which way the church, and which way the nation, which way the home, the thing is a little bit discouraging to us. We wish that things were going another way. They are depressing, even to prepare and to deliver and to speak such things as we learn about the church and the nation and the home. But we do think that they, for things to be as they ought, will never be as they ought if we just bury our heads in the sand, as it were, and pretend that all is well when all is not well. The only ones who can really be pleased with the direction the family and the homes of America are going are those who are either naive or blind or ignorant or so morally degenerate they don't care, and who seek the downfall of good things. Now, this is not to contend that everything in every home is bad. Not so. But the direction generally is bad. While marriages increase 7 or 8%, divorces have increased 65 to 70%. Unmarried couples just living together has grown between 150 and 200%. At the same time, children living with both parents grows less and less. Those living with one parent is up over 40%. And most of the loss of one parent has been because of divorce or been because the child was born to unwed parents. 60 to 70% of children under five, they spend part of the day in some daycare facility without spiritual and moral training, while over half of the mothers in America have left their homes to earn money outside the home. We even hear of a two-year marriage contract, suits of so-called palimony, where one fornicator sues another fornicator after they've been committing fornication for a time just living together. The so-called women's liberation movement, and such organizations as the National Organization of Women, along with their push for the so-called Equal Rights Amendment, has been a major contributing factor to the disruption of society and the disintegration of the home. With over half of black births in America being illegitimate, and the illegitimate birth rate among whites doubling in the past few years, it is not an unfair question to ask if a nation can survive while it makes such vicious attacks on the home and the family, its basic structure. The evidence of disregard for what God says on such a thing is heavy. The home, friend, is a divine institution like the church. It is designed by God. It began in the Garden of Eden. It has divinely given purposes and goals and responsibilities and privileges. Good homes begin with good marriages of one man, one woman, until death separates them. It involves God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the church. It involves the knowledge of duties and privileges that are declared in God's Word. The prime goal of marriage and the home ought to be to help one another get to heaven. But when God is left out of these arrangements, the home cannot be expected to be as it ought to be. When God is included, and when God is followed, the home is one of God's greatest blessings to mankind. And as with the church and the nation, the law of sowing and reaping is relevant, and because it cannot be repealed, it gives us cause for real concern. Downgrading the home and the family is the result of sin and false doctrines that are designed to protect sinners. One gigantic factor on the increase is women leaving their domestic duties and the home and the family for other pursuits. And there has been a corresponding increase in adultery, in lawlessness, in all manner of crimes, the disregard for God and His church, the general decay and corruption of morality. Now, while this contention is not popular in our present society, it's still the truth. And to shut our eyes to the truth is simply to sentence ourselves to a blindness that will destroy us. For the love of money, the desire for fame and pleasure and things, people have sold their families and sold their homes, not just their priorities and properties, they've sold them to the devil. Each woman who pursues employment outside the home at the neglect of her home should ask whether or not she does so out of need or out of greed. Now, we hear now and again, someone say that the church is losing her young people. Friend, this is not entirely accurate. The losses of the young to the church are the result of the homes losing the young. The church is unable, except in some rare instances, to overcome what the home is doing to young people. The home is the training ground, Proverbs 22:6, Ephesians 6:4. We need parents like Abraham, Genesis 18:19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Many parents are leaving the training of their children mostly to others anyway. The result is that children receive little proper spiritual training. Their houses are not much more than just filling stations occupied by strangers. The ability to communicate has been ruined by a worship at the altar of the television. Priorities are being set by the godless even in the homes of those who profess Christ. Values are being perverted because of what people are hearing and what they are seeing. And special mention here is necessary on this theme because the alcoholic beverage is probably the worst plague in our land. Did you know that drinking alcoholic beverages is producing more and more alcoholics and is America's number one drug problem? Did you also know that most young people learn that it is proper to drink from what they hear and see in the home more than any other influence? What fools parents are who drink. And while the homes are beleaguered with runaway children and child abuse and abortions and incest, suicides, murders of children, still parents neglect the spiritual and moral training that is their God-assigned duty to provide for their children. So many children are being allowed to reach physical maturity that have never been taught self-discipline, but have been tolerated in self-indulgence. The most frustrated people on earth are those who have to meet life but have never learned the difference between right and wrong and do not know how to make decisions they have to make. Many children learn a disrespect for authority by being allowed to display disrespect for parental authority in the home. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Parental pursuit of selfish ambitions, that's at the root of many problems that are burying many young people. Far too many parents do not provide the time, the energy, the patience, the knowledge, the guidance in order to rear their children properly. They're just too busy chasing, sometimes money, sometimes other people, in order to rear their children. The sin attributed to Eli was that he did not restrain his children. Just how can a parent do a good job when he's too busy with lesser matters to attend to his children? Divorce is even occurring in the church at alarming rates. And while it is still far less than in society generally, we find more and more professed Christians who show they really do not respect God's laws governing marriage and the home. Even less do they respect His teaching regarding divorce and remarriage. To accommodate this growing sin in the church, we are being bombarded with doctrines that rather appease those in sin rather than causing people to repent and correct their lives. So many in the church have partaken of the sinful ways of the world that many preachers and teachers and elders have decided that we must so-called love them and teach them something different than what God has said, or at least try to present some plausible dodge around what God has said so that we can just go ahead and accept the adulterous unions that are being formed. And our schools have contributed to the undermining of the teaching done in godly homes, and even the erosion of the home itself. False doctrines about marriage, divorce, and remarriage among brethren have had a big push in recent years from the professors in the so-called Christian schools. Even those in the schools, those who ought to know better, and who do not believe these errors, they're not strong enough and courageous enough to openly oppose their colleagues. Jobs mean more than truth to a lot of folks. Just what does one think of the teaching of evolution? What do you think that does to the reliability of the Bible? Evolution is taught as a fact, even in schools supposedly operated by brethren. There are required texts that compromise with evolution. Why, this is glaringly apparent in the public schools, which in many matters have become one of the most poisonous enemies of the Lord's church in our day. They teach values and doctrines that are opposite to what God has revealed. Even homosexuality is presented as an acceptable lifestyle to small children. Humanism becomes the loudest theme in public education. The evidence of the decline of the home is staggering, and it is obvious that the home has been going the wrong direction for several decades. And while this is not pleasant to realize, we might as well realize the truth about it. Sadly, too many really do not care. Everything about the home, of course, is not bad, and we should not conclude that all in America's homes have fallen victim to the devil. There are godly homes, governed by godly parents, rearing godly children. But this discussion has to do with the present trend and the downward spiral of the home generally, and the conclusions are just too pronounced to deny. But all homes do not produce divorce and delinquent children. It is because these homes respect God and respect His Word. This is why the task of taking the truth of God to the world is so pressing with respect to the quality and spiritual welfare of the occupants and the inhabitants of our homes. It is one thing to recognize a trend, but quite another to do something constructive about it, and, in this case, to turn it around to what it ought to be. And there are efforts that should be made and are being made by many. Parents need to show their young what a godly home is. Often divorce breeds divorce. But did you not know that stability breeds stability? Many youths never know a good home. They marry without that knowledge. And when their home breaks down, and when that thing just disintegrates right before their eyes, why, they simply consider that's about normal. They expect failure, because that's what they experienced in their upbringing. There should be more preparation for marriage by more teaching on God's will for the home and the family. It is easier to prevent than it is to correct a problem. Preparation for marriage is a great preventive. Married people must sever all ties with whatever puts a strain on the stability of a marriage and a home, whether it be associates or jobs or recreation or location or whatever. We should police the television. What comes over it most often in the name of so-called entertainment is nothing but spiritual and moral garbage of hell, with every sort of sin paraded as an acceptable bit of conduct, including fornication and drunkenness and homosexuality and violence and hate, divorce and murder. On an average day, we are told, on the so-called soaps, viewers see and hear nearly 7 instances of something sexually perverse every single day. Great entertainment. For people who want to please God? Why, certainly not. Cannot we strengthen the homes and the ties of marriage and the family by family worship, by personal prayer, by righteous activities together, attendance at worship, family reunions that stress godly heritage, learning and practicing the golden rule? The greatest gift a parent can give his child are principles and specifics that show the sanctity and the uniqueness of a godly home where Christ reigns supreme. Sometimes the question is asked of a parent whose children are noted for being what they ought to be, what did you do that your sons and daughters are as they are? Why, it's generally conceded that providing a 1, 2, 3 catalog of things is almost impossible. Good children are formed by living before them good lives. It is not so much one big thing as it is the daily little things combined. But we can say with confidence that teaching them a respect for the Bible is absolutely essential. Whatever advice could be given to parents regarding their children, that advice should be that human wisdom cannot and will not displace divine wisdom. As Edgar A. Guest once wrote, it takes a heap of living in a house to make it a home. Good homes produce good people. Good churches produce good homes. Good homes exist where each member strives to live faithfully before God. Our homes can be what God approves if we will only listen and apply what He has said. We often feel terribly hopeless as we hear and read of the deterioration of homes, seeing children going astray, and watching the nation dig its own grave by ignoring the family and the home. Now, while none of us as individuals may ever make a great impact on the world, or an impact upon the nation, and maybe not even on our community where we live, we can start now to make our homes more in keeping with the divine pattern. Would you consider Noah, who saved his children from a world that was so degenerate that God destroyed it? Consider Hannah, Samuel's mother, who gave her child into the service of God. She did this even as the nation generally was going away from God. Once a person asked me why anybody would want to bring children into this dismal and sinful world where things seemingly are going from bad to worse. Well, I could only respond that we needed our children so we might train them God's way, and to work and pray that they will keep the light of truth burning brightly in this darkened world for their own generation. We can provide for God tools for His service through our children, if we will. May God help us and them in the midst of a present onslaught against His divine will to do what we must to make the salvation of ourselves, of our children, and of our children's children the eternal reality. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.